Today's digest for July 14, 2026. 10 stories today, covering AI industry moves, developer tooling, security disclosures, and quantum research. We've got Apple suing OpenAI, new Anthropic research on how Claude's values shift by language, a live supply chain attack on a popular open source project, and a plan to build a quantum computer out of light. Here's the rundown. We start with a courtroom brawl between two of tech's biggest names. Apple has filed a 41-page trade secrets lawsuit against OpenAI, accusing it of a coordinated campaign to pull confidential information out of current and former Apple employees. The complaint names Cheng Liu, a former senior systems electrical engineer who left for OpenAI, and Tangyu Tan, OpenAI's chief hardware officer and a former Apple design vice president, who allegedly told job candidates to bring real Apple parts and design artifacts to interviews for so-called show-and-tell sessions. Apple claims Liu exploited an authentication bug to reach internal network storage, and that OpenAI coached departing staff on dodging security procedures and skipping their exit agreements. More than 400 former Apple employees now work at OpenAI, according to the filing. OpenAI's response was terse. It says it has no interest in other companies' trade secrets. Next up, new research from Anthropic on something subtle. Claude doesn't express the same values in every language or even across its own model versions. Analyzing more than 300,000 conversations, researchers reduced thousands of expressed values down to four axes: deference versus caution, warmth versus rigor, depth versus brevity, and candor versus execution. Those axes captured about 15% of the variation. The differences are real and measurable. Sonnet 4.6 leaned toward warmth and deference, while Opus 4.7 emphasized caution, rigor, and depth. Language mattered too. Hindi conversations showed the most warmth, Russian the most rigor, and English lean toward caution and depth. The researchers are candid that they don't yet know which training choices drive these patterns or whether the variation actually serves users well. Questions they say they'll dig into next. Staying with Anthropic, the company has rolled out local rupee pricing for Claude in India, which it calls its second largest market after the United States. Claude Pro now runs 2,000 rupees a month billed annually versus $17 in the US. While the max plan starts at about 12,000 rupees against $100 domestically. Team plans begin around 2,400 rupees per seat. Anthropic says India accounts for nearly 6% of global Claude usage, and dollar-based billing had been a real friction point for local customers. The rollout isn't finished, though. Anthropic hasn't yet enabled payments through India's Unified Payments Interface, the instant payment network most Indians actually use, so subscribers still have to pay by card or through App Store billing. It's part of a broader India push that includes a new Bengaluru office and partnerships with Infosys and Tata Consultancy Services. Time for a quick one for the developers. Simon Willison has a tidy trick for running Python tools with UVX inside GitHub Actions without hammering the package index on every single run. The problem? Each workflow run normally re-downloads the tool and its dependencies from scratch, wasting time and bandwidth. His fix is to pin tool resolution to a fixed date using an environment variable, and then fold that same date into the GitHub Actions cache key. That way, the resolve tools stay stable and get cached between runs, and when you actually want to upgrade, you just bump the date forward. It's a small, practical pattern, but if your continuous integration runs dozens of times a day, cutting out those redundant downloads adds up fast. Turning to identity and security. Microsoft is overhauling how sign-in works for Entra ID, its cloud identity platform, and the timeline is now set. Starting September 1, 2026, passkeys become the default authentication method. Organizations still using text message or voice codes for multi-factor authentication will be automatically switched on for passkeys, and users prompted to register at their next sign-in. By February 1, 2027, anyone relying on text or voice codes will have to register a passkey before they can log in, with no opt-out for organizations. Microsoft is also phasing out its own built-in text and voice options. Companies that still need them for regulatory reasons will have to route through third-party telecom providers and cover the charges. A Microsoft vice president framed it plainly, making passkeys the default cuts, reliance on phishable methods, and hardens accounts against credential theft. Next, a reminder that the foundations of secure boot are creakier than they look. Researchers at ESET found that 11 older Microsoft signed shims, the small bootloaders that let Linux start on machines with UEFI secure boot turned on, carried flaws that let an attacker sidestep secure boot entirely. All the affected versions were 0.9 or earlier, and Microsoft revoked them in its June 2026 patch Tuesday. The catch is scope. Any system that trusts Microsoft's widely distributed UEFI certificate from 2011 is potentially exposed, even hardware that never shipped with the vulnerable code. Worse, nobody really knows how many old shims are out there because there's no clean record of what got signed before the review process began in 2017. ESET's guidance is straightforward. Apply the current revocations through Windows updates or the Linux vendor firmware service and verify the bad versions are gone. Also today, a live software supply chain attack. On July 14th, attackers compromised the open-source async API project by abusing a misconfigured GitHub Actions workflow, then published four malicious NPM packages across five versions. The affected packages, including async API's code generator and its specs library, pull in more than 3 million downloads a week combined. The attackers stole a highly privileged access token from the project's automation account, used it to push malicious commits, and let the normal release pipeline publish the poisoned packages. The payload was nasty. It ran on import, established persistence, and harvested credentials across the board. Browser passwords, SSH keys, cloud secrets, developer tokens, even crypto wallets. Security teams are being told to treat any stored credential on affected machines as exposed and rotate their tokens, keys, and secrets right away. It's a blunt reminder that your build pipeline is production. Sticking with authentication, Google is bringing hardware security keys and phone passkeys to Windows sign-in. Through a free tool called Google Credential Provider for Windows, GCPW for short, workspace users can already log into Windows machines with their Google credentials instead of a separate Windows account. Now, Google is rolling out support for FIDO2 security keys as a second factor at that Windows sign-in screen, available to all workspace customers. Admins can require two-step verification using a physical key, or let people use a passkey from a Bluetooth-connected phone instead. The setup is policy-driven. Administrators let users register a method, a security key, an authenticator app, or another option, and then flip on enforcement from the admin console. The upshot is stronger protection right at the desktop, since a stolen password alone no longer gets an attacker onto the machine. Now to law enforcement. The UK's National Crime Agency has charged five London residents tied to Russian comms, a caller ID spoofing service that powered fraud at industrial scale. Running from 2020 to March 2024, the platform generated more than 1.3 million scam calls, hitting around 500,000 unique UK phone numbers with criminals impersonating banks and government agencies to drain accounts. Investigators estimate roughly 170,000 UK victims and tens of millions of pounds in losses, with an average individual hit above £9,400 and reach into more than 100 countries. The service was sold through Telegram for monthly crypto payment, bundling features like voice changing and instant device wiping. All five defendants are due at Westminster Magistrates Court on August 14th. Finally, a look at the far edge of computing. PsiQuantum, founded in 2016 by four British physicists, is trying to build a large-scale quantum computer out of light, using photons as its qubits instead of the superconducting circuits or trapped ions most rivals rely on. The company has raised $1 billion and broken ground on sites in Chicago and Australia, with the Australian facility expected to be operational by late 2027. One practical advantage: photonic systems only need their detectors chilled to around 2 Kelvin, rather than cooling an entire machine to near absolute zero. The plan is to scale to roughly 100 cabinets holding thousands of photons, chasing the 1 million qubit mark researchers think is needed for truly hard problems. PsiQuantum has drawn Pentagon interest and partners like Lockheed Martin, Mercedes, and Airbus, and claims its approach could shrink certain drug simulation tasks from a decade to minutes. That's the rundown for July 14th. From courtroom fights and shifting clawed values to creaky boot chains, poisoned packages, and quantum machines made of light, a lot moving today. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow with the next digest.